This call is now being recorded.
All right, it is. This is Gunn.
And I'm Texan.
Yes. And we should put support after our names. I'm Tech Support. I'm Gunn Support. All right. I have weird local news issues to talk about. Inside the Beltway here in our nation's capital yesterday, let me know if you heard about this. In the nation's capital, we were without power at the White House, the Smithsonian, some of the surrounding buildings. My wife, actually, her building was evacuated. So it was kind of a scary day here in Washington, as we thought for a little bit. We thought there was a terrorist attack happening or about to happen. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, it did make national news. It was kind of a footnote kind of thing because the guy from Dukes of Hazzard died. So
okay, what guy from
who? I'm not kidding. One of the stars of Dukes of Hazzard, not one of the major guys. He was the one of the policemen. The actor that played that man died.
Well, that's
well beloved.
Too bad.
Well beloved by his friends and family, I'm sure. But yeah, I was proud that no one in our Congress did any looting during the power outage.
That just didn't get any cover. You didn't see Boehner throwing a trash can through the window of the 7-Eleven, but it happened.
Yeah, or
just kidding.
Just kidding. You know, armloads of.
So I think I figured out how our social media situation is going to work here. We are going to label these as Wiretap Wednesdays, okay?
I gotcha.
Okay, so we'll have Wiretap Wednesdays. That'll be our Wednesday podcast where, you know, if we're lazy and we don't get anything out during the week, we'll at least have a Wiretap Wednesday. And I think that's something we can basically set in stone now that we're all three being able to record the wiretaps and then our producer can throw them online and she even edited the two-parter together for the last one. So she took care of everything. And then whoever has a chance to start tweeting about it, we're going to tweet a hashtag Wiretap Wednesday and then also, with a legit breakdown of what we're talking about. And then on top of that, a clickbait headline. So this one would be Congressman Boehner throws trash can through 7-Eleven window while looting during D.C. blackouts. Hashtag clickbait, hashtag wiretap link. So that's what we'll have to tweet. Obviously, that didn't happen. That's obviously just clickbait, and we're just doing it to draw light to the fact that we need to have a more secure capital city. Basically, we had buildings that went out and out, like gone. Thankfully, the metro was still working, so Sophia got out of D.C. We got to spend the rest of the afternoon together, which was nice. But it was still a scary day, and the fact that our capital has external power, lots of places in the capital have internal power. Like the Capitol building itself actually has a little power plant.
I don't know if I'm talking stuff I'm not supposed to talk about, but I heard somebody say that to me off the record. So that being the case, I feel like it's.
There's a documentary on, I think it was Learning Channel or something, you know, in between the UFO and Bigfoot crap, talking about the White House, and that was mentioned, you know, that different places had, you know, and of course, you know, not, they didn't show you where, but there are, of course, panic rooms and bomb shelters and things like that, so. The one thing I was going to mention, and tell me if I've ever mentioned this while we've been recording, Our infrastructure is terrifying. the the more you know about it, basically in I think it was, and I'm going to say the wrong date, 1912 was the Tikhonsk explosion, you know, where a meteor smashed the crap out of Russia. It's either, and then I think it was 1897, there was a massive solar flare that hit North America. And I always get those two dates mixed up. So one's one, one's the other. The gist of it is, if we got hit by a powerful enough solar flare, a lot of our power lines would just flat out friggin' melt.
Right.
Because you are taking, you know, it's electricity. It tries to flow to ground. It's going to hit the power lines and just put too much power into the power lines and melt them suckers. Maybe people would have a little bit of sunburn, some skin cancer. But the key thing is, we'll be in the Stone Age immediately. And
right.
The problem is the transformers, the gigantic transformer stations, you know, each one of those suckers takes months to build. And if that happened, we'd have to come up with new wires and new transformer stations, as fast as possible. And, you know, the cool thing is, hey, maybe we'd learn to prioritize as a society a little better instead of buying tanks, which we've, you know, ranted about. Nobody uses tanks in modern warfare.
Right.
You know, so, hey, we can put the cost of it.
This is the reason why we need to start talking about this is the Iran situation. Could I just say that that my ziggurat would actually I want to be, I don't know who has published anything about this, but a ziggurat that is 100 kilometers tall would, with, you know, 10 kilometer steps, 10 kilometer steps, would be the fail safe for a space elevator, that the world could use. And that would be something that would be essentially undestroyable, even by tectonic plate shifting. I know that's like a 200-year plan to build something that ridiculous, but if someone did, they would basically have the ability to set satellites in orbit. So, if there is a solar flare, a nuclear EMP blast, they would literally be able to take the space elevator up the side of the ziggurat up to the stratosphere and just basically set satellites in orbit with technology that is just simple machinery. And that would be I kind of see it as the only way to do a space elevator in any efficient manner. One that wouldn't be susceptible to an EMP itself.
Well, and the cool thing is, if you could build something that monumental, that large, the really cool things is we could do some fantastic telescope stuff at the top, because you don't have atmosphere and water in the atmosphere screwing with your visions of the sky.
Right.
The other cool thing.
Well,
I love
brainstorming with you about that. Where we were about a year ago, we were brainstorming about what you would need to be building the top of the ziggurat. Basically, from the first step on, you'd be dealing with tiny meteors that could shoot through your clothing and kill you.
Yeah, that's the cosmic rays are your dire enemy at that point. Cosmic rays are, physical, basically protons ripping through the universe.
Well, yeah, but even space debris that would be burnt up by our atmosphere, pulled in by our gravity, you would have space debris that would be hitting the people working on the side of the building. And I mean, it would just be like a bullet shooting them. There's some incomprehensible odds that need to be dealt with before humanity can do that. But once they make something that monumental, it'll just be like, oh, we've had an EMP blast from a solar flare that's knocked out society. good thing we have this space elevator to put the stuff back up there. But also there is some common sense things, because we on this planet have weapons that actually have the ability to cause EMP. And we have people who say stuff like, we are going to use, you know, this weaponry against the West. And it's kind of common sense stuff where it's like, okay, you know, yes, we can build a space elevator and all this stuff to help fix the world if someone does that. But you can also, like, just not help people who say that they're going to use them to kill us and to wipe out our infrastructure. So that's kind of one of those issues that the world's having right now with Iran, is just not helping them get a nuclear bomb, and even dissuading them.
Can I be scary for a second?
Do it.
All right, you know, this, nuclear bombs, big scary things, really hard to do, really hard to do right. You know, amazingly, almost 100 years ago, we started the process of figuring it out, you know, figuring out the math behind it, and then in the 40s actually developed actual usable things. So we're talking about 100-year-old technology to do this. So it's doable by, you know, any stretch of the imagination by any modern country in the world. Now, we are right on the precipice of drones becoming commodity. You know, smart neural network style drones, self-healing drone meshes. And say you just take a, and you can 3D print, guns, you know, single shot guns. So I've got a set of, 140 drones that fly in formation. Each one's got a single shot gun on it. Under $20,000, I have my debt swarm. You know, I'm now holding capitals for ransom, you know, you might be able to get some of them, but they'll close ranks and join in, and, you know, if they can't take out a target with the gun, they'll crash into it. You know, this is the thing that people have to defend against in the future, and that's where something like an EMP, if we can generate an EMP burst, that's actually going to be a good thing.
Right, well, you know, basically weaponizing the EMP burst for small usage, yes. But I don't know. I feel like, too, as long as we can stay ahead of the curve, this is my issue with the whole rushing to call something illegal. Because in the D.C. area, too, this is another news story that people may not have heard about. Somebody crashed a drone into the White House.
Yeah.
Later. Somebody crashed a drone into the White House, and it was just a little four-propeller joint, but they were still flying it near the White House, which they weren't supposed to. They were drunk, and they fell asleep, and the thing went ahead and fell, of course, into the White House lawn, and I don't think any charges ended up being pressed, because it was a federal employee just playing around with a toy. But point is, people immediately start talking about laws. We need to put more laws in the books, and we need to get these things, and it infuriates me, because that's not how adaptation works. That's not how evolution works. At no point during the evolution of a species did the species realize, through the sharply dropping numbers of its populace, that it was being targeted for extinction by predatory species. And so it started saying, no, stop it. Stop eating us. Stop eating us. No.
Yeah,
that's not how adaptation works.
In my example, basically what you're doing is you're trying to outlaw terrorism. You know,
it's already stuff that's against the law, yeah. And my point is, too, you're... with the drone thing, where they're saying, hey, one second.
I need to get a right.
I just like to say that I've got about 17 minutes and I'm driving into a maelstrom and there might be an alien mothership chasing me.
All right. Well, I have to go.
The skies are a little scary here, but I have 2 seconds to just punch out with what I was going for there?
Yeah.
I was very careful to mention everything, you know, everything that can't be made illegal in what I was talking about. Homemade drones, open source software, 3D printed, nothing traceable, nothing. You can be your own supervillain, you know, holding cities for ransom for under $200,000. You don't even have to be a millionaire to be your own supervillain.
Jesus. All right, thank you for that horrifying dystopian view of the future. And this is Gunn saying, tip your servers and five-star Uber drivers. Gun out.
This is Peck saying, don't worry, I've got a solution.
All right. Bye, open deals.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.